The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Ready, Set, Spill. I'm Lindsay Carter, the founder and CEO of Set Active, a new mother and the host of Ready, Set, Spill. Hey, guys. I'm back recording a solo episode. This time, I do have Kaylin here to help me ask some questions that came in on Set's account, because I also posted on Set's account and my personal account for some questions, and so many came in. So I'm excited to answer them. And I also have her here because I am pregnant and I am out of breath in one sentence. So to the thought of doing a full, you know, whatever, 30-minute, 50-minute episode solo was giving me extreme anxiety because I can't breathe. So Kaylin's here as well. I think what I'll do first is answer my personal questions that came in, and then you can log into Set's account and you can ask me anything. So I won't be prepped for those because I haven't had time to review them. So this is going to be a little bit all over the place. I'll probably, you know, talk on Set. I'll talk on my personal life, advice, and everything that I'm seeing in here. One of the first questions that I always think is an interesting question is one thing that you wish more people knew about you. And I always think about this question and how I would answer it a lot. And I think today my answer is that I'm super loyal, but to a fault. Like, I feel like it's a disadvantage to me because of how loyal I am. I think I expect the same loyalty from others. And because it's really often that people don't match the level of loyalty that I'm giving out, I'm left disappointed. And it creates disappointment in my friendships and relationships in general. And something that I figure I need to work on, maybe not be so loyal. I'm not sure what the answer is, but I'll keep you guys posted when I figure out what that answer is. So yeah, I think that's something I wish, maybe not that I wish more people knew about me, that maybe someone might not know. Another question that I get often is, how did you first find manufacturers? What factors were considered? When I first started Set, my main factor, which I think is, well, I don't think, I know, is still true to this day, is quality. That was like the most important thing to me. At the time, 4 years ago, no one was, I just spoke about this on another podcast, so I won't bore you guys to talk about it again. But basically, long story short, no one was really doing quality seamless activewear. And if they were, it was such a small niche. So like Gymshark isn't a small company, but they were catering to people who just did lifting in the gym. And Lululemon had it, but they weren't really putting like an emphasis on it, and they weren't really known for their seamless. So enters Set Active, and that's what I thought of to do the first product. And I had a production partner at the time who helped me with his relationships with manufacturers. And now we have a new head of production, Adam. Maybe I'll have him on the pod one day.
He's a character.
He is a character. He's fun to have conversations with, and maybe I'll bring him on to do like a whole episode on production and where to start and different things like that. So if that's something you want to hear, let me know.
I think that's also a good segue into this question. How'd you decide how much product to make for your very first drop ever?
Honestly, it's trial and error. I knew I wanted to be a drop model business, and I think I just, you know, begged for what's the minimum quantity that the factory could do. And then I negotiated with them. And, you know, I told myself, like, maybe I'll do the minimum quantity and split it up so that it sells out and then I can restock. But I wanted to be limited edition colors. So that was really important to me. So that wasn't an option to split the stock. So I think I just asked what the minimum, and I was like, can you go any lower than that? And then I was like, whatever number they give me, I'm going to have to work with that because I don't really have an option. So I negotiated as low as I could possibly go. And then I think it was maybe 100 per style per color. I can't remember. It was so long ago, but I made it work. You always make it work. You find ways and you just take it as you go and you'll find solutions.
Exactly. You got to roll with the punches.
Yeah. Look at you, Kaylin, hosting my podcast.
I literally walked in here and Lindsay's like, oh, you're going to sit right here in front of me.
It's giving me a breathing break. I like it.
So something else that was asked was, what is something you wish you knew before starting Set?
I think something I wish I knew that I actually knew, but was very just ignorant to it. Like I didn't, you know, I ignored it.
It's like at the back of your head.
Yes. Was that your plan is not going to be what you intended. So much changes. And still to this day, so much changes. You know, we went through a company restructure back over the holidays. And I was like, whew, that's done. I don't have to do that for a long time. And here we are. And I'm having to do another company restructure. So things change. For someone who hates change, I think I had to change my mindset on, you know, especially in business, that things are not going to go according to plan. Your production is going to come in completely different than what you planned for in terms of color, size, fit, the whole nine yards. And you just have to, again, you have to roll with it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just be open to change, I would say, is like my biggest piece of advice for sure.
And then going with changing your mindset, I think that helps you gain new perspective, which I think something that does so great mm-hmm. is kind of taking place of the community's perspective.
Yeah.
And being very transparent and wanting to reflect like what's actually going on behind the scenes.
Yeah. I always like to show everyone what's going on.
Hey, friend. I'm Nicole Walters, mom of three, your internet bestie, and founder of Inherent Learning Company. If you're looking for the motivation you need to pursue a life of purpose, then join me each week on the Nicole Walters podcast as I share my hard-learned lessons and answer your DMs about life, business, and everything in between. We'll laugh, we'll cry, and we'll grant ourselves grace as we do life together. Check out the Nicole Walters podcast every Tuesday here on Dear Media. You can listen anywhere you listen to podcasts.
I have a question that has nothing to do with set. No transition to this one at all. But Tia wanted to know how I manage it all and if I have help, a nanny and a housekeeper, etc. And I do. I'm not scared to share that I do. I would not be able to do anything that I do without them. I don't really even like to call them my housekeepers or my nannies. I like to refer to them as my team because they're taking care of my house and my child in place of me. And I see us as a team. I have Della. Her name is Daniela. I call her Della. And Julia and Miriam. And I'm obsessed with them. They're like actually my best friends. And they help me with Ace and they help me with the house. And I could not do life without them. So yes, they help me manage it all. I also have Jake, who's on my team. He's my executive assistant. He manages my calendar. He calms me down when things don't need to be as crazy as I'm making them because I am a drama queen. So yeah, I do have help.
I do have someone, Julia. She's asking, what was your breastfeeding journey like from mother to mother?
So how do I answer this? When I found out I was pregnant, I decided that fed is best was my mentality going into it. If breastfeeding wasn't going to work, I was doing all the research possible on formula. I picked the formula that I thought was best, that I think and thought was best for my son. And I think because I took off that pressure of I have to breastfeed and I have to do it and he has to latch and I'm his source of food and all of that stuff, because I removed the pressure, of course, he latched on the first day very easily. And I didn't have any issues with mastitis or any of the scary things that you think of. I'm looking at Kaylin as if she relates to this, and she's nowhere near having kids.
But
nodding
I'm getting
her head.
Prepared.
She's
yeah.
getting prepared. She's looking at me like, yeah, keep going. So Ace latched really easily, and my milk supply was there. I didn't have any clogged milk ducts or any of, you know, that jazz. But I knew that I was going to go back to work very soon after, and I did not want to be on a pump schedule. You know, all of my friends who have had kids, they've only complained about being attached to wires and pumping, and it just didn't sound, you know, like something I was interested in doing. So I weaned off and I started him on formula. So I breastfed for like a month. And that's probably what I'm going to do again for my second baby.
Baby girl.
Yeah. So I don't know if that answers my breastfeeding journey.
No, it definitely did.
It didn't
touch all the points. Not that I know them, but.
Well, listen, if you're scared of clogged ducts, which are very painful, on Amazon, it's a tongue twister. Sorry, here I go again. Sunflower lecithin helps with clogged ducts. And I got that tip before I had Ace.
From your mommy group?
Yes. And I started taking it. It's a giant bottle. The branding's really cool. And I didn't get any clogged ducts. So There you go.
There you have it.
There you have it. Okay, so you or me, go.
Rock, paper, scissors?
Well, yeah.
Someone is asking, how are you doing really?
Honestly, mm-hmm. I'm really stressed. Like,
why?
I was at the doctor like right before this, and I was like, I'm getting really bad headaches. And she was like, well, these could be the causes, but I think knowing you, it's from stress. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, or I'm starving, but I'm always starving. So
mine to the listeners, we had our weekly team meeting. Lindsay's leaving for vacation, and she said it's not vacation. How do you not have a vacation?
Because when you're the CEO of a company and you're down a couple team members, you have a couple team members leaving, you're hiring a bunch of team members, I can't just check out. I can't just be like, see ya, I'm going to Europe, have a good time. The team needs me and I'm going to be there digitally.
Yeah, over Slack.
Yeah.
But I do hope that you're surrounded by such beautiful, beautiful things, and you're there with people you love. So I do hope you do take that time.
Yes, I'm sure that I will. But, you know, I've said this before. I'm stressed, but I would rather have 1 million things going on than be bored mm-hmm. because I don't do well when I'm bored or if I'm not stressed or I don't have a million things. Mm-hmm. So yes, while it sounds like I'm not doing okay or I'm stressed, I'd rather be stressed and have a million things going on. Yeah. I thrive better in this environment.
You said you like to be busy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I like to be busy. My grandma has always said, better to be busy than bored. And I just...
Very true.
Yes. Maybe check my personal. Sorry for all these pauses. I'm on my personal questions that I got on my personal Instagram. And then Kaylin's on Seth's Instagram for all the questions. Someone said, how do you feel about having two kids? I'm really excited. If I could have all the kids in the world, I would. I love kids. I'm excited that I get one of each, and I feel really grateful.
You have a few siblings.
Yes. So I come from a family of four. Although, I don't know if I would do four. It was always three against one. And I was always the one. Yes, I was always the one that the three were against. Uh-huh. I never felt like I was on the in or, you know, I was always the black sheep of my family, I would say. One time, I accidentally had a run-in with a medium. I don't know if I believe in those things.
Okay.
And the medium said to me, like, so sorry if this is weird or awkward, but, like, your mom's coming through right now. And then she was like, she tells me that you are the black sheep of your family. And I was like, if you can't see me right now, my jaw's on the floor. I was like, how does she know? And so that, like, kind of maybe confirmed that spirit's real.
Where did this happen? Like, were you outside on the street?
I was actually at Jane's house.
Oh.
Yes. And the medium was a guest of Jane. She had a show on ABC Family called Monica the Medium.
Okay.
I had known that she was a medium, but I didn't think that, like, in her off vacation time, she was going to give me a reading. And we were all just hanging out. And she was like, your mom's coming through. And I was like, and she didn't know me very well. Mm-hmm. She knew my mom had passed, but that's all she knew. It was interesting. She said a lot of things, but one of them was that I was, like, the black sheep, always the odd one out.
It's wild.
But look at me now. My mom would be proud. But speaking of Jane, someone wanted to know, oh my God, this is so weird. Speaking of Jane, someone named Jane is asking this question. Please share about your forecasting background. I'm so interested. So let's see. My first job out of college was at NBC Universal. It was in production. So I already had to start researching, like, what were the trends and different things like that, because it helped produce shows and, like, talk about who's, you know, it right now and who's not mm-hmm. and what people are talking about, if the show could be created out of it. Social media was just booming at the time. And I just fell in love with predicting the future. Felt like That's So Raven.
She's a medium.
Yeah, I'm a medium and I'm Not So Raven. And then I got a job with Jane, who owned a trend forecasting company. And I learned so much under her. I mean, anything from, like, how to study Gen Z and millennials and Gen Y and Gen X and understanding this. I remember one study we did was the cult following of SoulCycle when it first mm-hmm. came out, and, like, how to build a cult-like brand. Everyone thinks that, like, trend forecasting is just, like, making up guesses, but you really can figure out a lot if you just spend a lot of time on the internet. And I'm just really good at that. Allie would always say to me, like, all you do, like, when I look over at your computer, you're on all these, like, websites shopping. I was like, no, I'm not shopping.
It's
I'm looking I'm looking at like what the runways are doing and styles or necklines or straps or colors. And you get a sense for what's coming and what's hot. And I think I've also had this like natural ability to like guess what's coming. You know, before cargo pants came, I was like, I think those are going to be it. I don't know. I feel like it's a mix of immersing yourself in research and understanding how, you know, trends work. I don't know if I'm answering this question. Trends is just such a complex industry.
How do you think that your experience in entertainment helped you later on with fashion trend forecasting?
I think it was just understanding how to research, to be honest, because back then, you know, we would pitch shows at the time. This is how I became friends with the Carlsons, you know, Wildflower cases. I was like, everyone's using these cases. Not very many people knew about it, though. Like, I remember I'd go around the office and be like, have you heard of Wildflower cases? They'd be, look at me like I was crazy. And I was like, I'm telling you, they're going to be the next hot thing. It's like a fashion accessory for your phone. And everyone looked at me like I was psycho. I was like, they're like phone cases, fashion, what? And I was like, no, no, you have to meet the girls. So I went into my boss's office and I was like, I really think we should do a show on these girls. They're you know, fashionable. They're the CEOs behind this phone case brand. They're pretty, they're fun, they're trendy, they're all the things. And it can be called like Growing Up Wildflower because it's called Wildflower Cases. And so I pitched a show on them and it got picked up for a sizzle reel. And that was like my first big accomplishment. And that's how I became friends with them.
I never knew this.
You didn't?
No, I didn't know that's how you guys became friends.
Yeah. And then, that's look at Wildflower Cases now.
I know. Seriously, they're huge.
I'm so proud of them. They are iconic. So, yeah.
Let's see. What do we have here?
I know. I should check mine too, but my phone keeps locking. This is a good one. How to not feel guilty when you need to end a toxic friendship and navigating mutual friends. So I've been on the receiving end of someone ending a friendship with me, and I've been on the other side of ending the friendship.
Okay.
What I've learned through my 20s is that there are going to be friends that you have for your life, for sure. And those are the friendships that are very, very, very stress-free, drama-free, super organic. Nicholas, for example, I fight with him like he's my brother. Like, we have been down each other's throats. One time we got in a fight so badly sitting in his car that we were both crying. And then 5 minutes of silence goes by. And I was like, can we go to Alfred and get a coffee? I'm so thirsty. And he was like, yeah, let's go. And then like we're calm. We're able to talk about it. But like, that's a real friendship. He's like a brother to me. He'll be my friend for my whole entirety of my life. And then there's friends where you just, you grow in separate directions. I mean, Sydney, I don't think I've ever told this story publicly before, but Sydney Carlson was my sister. She was my ride or die. She was a bridesmaid in my wedding. We were like obsessed with each other. She lived in my guest room basically every single weekend. We knew everything about each other. We talked all day long and her family was my family. And I spent Thanksgiving and Christmas at her house. And I think at one point, it was after my wedding, I think we just both kind of realized we were going in different directions. I obviously was not in the mindset of wanting to go out and party. I'm newly married. I was ready to settle down. She's younger than me. And, you know, she did want to do that. She did want to socialize. She did want to network. She did want to go out there and have fun. And at the time, I like didn't understand because I was like, I saw it as she's being a bad friend and she's not spending quality time with me. And I was putting a lot of pressure on her to be this friend. And I think it ended up creating like more of a wedge between us because I'm putting all these expectations and pressure on her when in reality, our relationship was really going in different directions. I wanted to, you know, order Domino's in on a Friday and watch a movie, which don't get me wrong, she loved doing too, but she also really wanted to go out with her other friends and, you know, party. And that just wasn't me. And I think naturally our relationship just went in different directions, but she's still in my life. You know, we still talk, we still catch up. And yeah, I mean, it's just a natural part of life. Some friendships stay forever and some don't. And if you're ever in a toxic relationship and you're getting anxiety every single day and you're asking yourself if this person really wants to be your friend or if they're putting effort and, you know, the list goes on, then you probably should, you know, take a look at that friendship and ask yourself if you need that in your life. And it's okay to say no. It's okay to say, I don't want that in my life. And it's okay to create boundaries.
Mm-hmm. And if you are feeling the anxiety, I think it is really good to speak about it, especially with that person.
Yeah.
If you are best friends and you do have that very close relationship, I feel like you should be comfortable enough to bring it up to them.
Yes.
And there have been friendships of my own where I was like, do I really, like, is it worth my energy to speak on it, or is it going to create like
more drama?
Exactly.
Yeah. That happened in quarantine with Nicholas. Nicholas, you guys might
he's the star of the show.
You think we might fight all the time. We really don't. I mean, he really is, other than Garrett and Ace and Leo, my other half. But one time we got in a fight so bad. He was sobbing. I couldn't see him, but his cousin, who was his roommate at the time, had to text me. Like, it was just a really not fun fight. And then that night, I think I had so much anxiety that I was going to lose him, or, like, you know, maybe he wasn't going to want to be my friend anymore because of how intense that fight was. And I was having a full panic attack. I, like, had to go into my closet and sit on the floor and close the door because I was like, I don't know if I could handle this. And I was like, I wonder if I call if he'll answer, knowing how mad he was. Mm-hmm. And I was mad too. But I was like, he's the one that I would call. So I called and he answered on like the third ring and he was like, hello. And he could hear that I was a mess. And I was like, I'm not well. And he was like, I still love you. And I was like, okay, are we fine? So I think, that's great advice, Caitlin.
Thanks.
Good.
Lindy.
Okay, moving on.
Look what else we have here.
Life updates. Personally, I don't have anything crazy going on. I'm really enjoying my the slowness, not work related, the outside of work slowness of my life. I'm not making as many plans at night. I'm staying in more and I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
Never thought I'd say that, but I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
It was perfect. 31. Here I come.
I have a lot of set related questions.
Okay. Yeah. Ask away.
How does it feel reflecting on the growth of set, seeing where you are now?
It's crazy. It's a struggle. Like, it's a tug of war of feeling like I can do more. We should be doing more. You know, this isn't the first time you're hearing this on the podcast, but I dream big. And I always think that because I can go at a million miles a second, that I expect everyone else to do that as well. And I think I need to remember that we are all not the same humans and everyone operates and thinks and works differently. And I'm really proud of how far we've come. But I also feel like it's just the beginning still, even though we're 4 years into it and I've done a lot. So I'm really proud. I'm trying to be more present in the accomplishments. Getting Forbes 30 under 30 was by far the coolest experience of my life. And it's because of set that I got that. I've been seeing a lot of TikToks that are like, people pay their way into Forbes 30 under 30, or it's all about knowing people. And like, that is not true. I am here to debunk that myth, because that is not how it works. You get nominated by someone, and it could be at random. It could be someone who just admires your brand. And then you have to go through a rigorous interview process. And I mean rigorous. It's like, I want to say, like, I think it was 100 questions. And you have to answer an essay format for some of them of like, what your business is doing, why is it different, what's your sales, what are your, like, what's your revenue?
Are there multiple rounds?
Multiple rounds, yes. So, like, you first have to answer this first set of questions that are, it's like a lot of questions. It was like, if you could have dinner with one person, who would it be and why? Like, they're analyzing how your brain works, essentially. And you're like, you second guess yourself. You're like, I said this person, do you think they're going to like them? Like, what if they're controversial? Like, I mean, it's really intense, to be honest. I had like 500 people read my answers. And then from there, you see if you made it to the next round. And then you have an in-person, well, on the phone interview. And they ask you more questions similar to what you just did. And you have to be like super poised and prepared, but you don't know the questions that they're going to ask you. And then from there, there's another round after that. So then you get to the next round and then you have a couple more questions. They do some fact checking. You can't just like make up that you made. This is totally made up right now, but you can't just say like, I made $500 million in year three. You have to like fact check them. You have to show what you've actually done. And then they don't tell you if you won or if you got it until they release the graduating class, or they call it
so
the class.
When we all found out is when you found out?
That's when I found out. Yeah, I know. So there's a lot of TikToks going around that say, like, you pay your way. Like, I'm here to tell you, I haven't paid. Maybe someone paid for me. I don't know. Like, I didn't pay a dollar to anyone. It's the people that get Forbes 30 under 30. It's a big accomplishment. So mm-hmm. I try to block out the noise. And yeah. that's a big career goal of mine that I wanted. That's something that I, you know, think mm-hmm. about often.
Definitely something you should be proud of.
Yeah.
I have another great question. Best business mistake Set has done? A mistake that turned out being something good in the end?
That is a hard question.
That was a great question.
Okay. One that recently just happened. We're trying to source men's right now. Mm-hmm. We've been working on men's, I would say, for a year and a half. It's been really hard to find, like, quality fabric. This is the thing. I knew getting into starting Set Active, if I wanted to be affordable quality activewear, that it was going to be an impossible journey that we're trying to figure out. Because we want to be that middleman of being affordable, like, not, you know, on the cheap end, but not on the super expensive end. And to find fabric where it meets those needs is really hard. You don't get a big pool to choose from as you would if you're going for the, you know, $25 for leggings route, or if you're going the $150 for leggings mm-hmm. route. I'm using leggings as an example. And so we came across this fabric. It is insane. It's like butter track pants. And Adam walked into my office. He's like, you know what? We've been doing this for a year and a half. I think I finally found our fabric for men's. And it wasn't necessarily a mistake, but I looked at him and I looked at the pants. And I was like, no, we're doing it for women's. And he looked at me and he was like, excuse me, what? I've been working on this for so long and you're going to tell me that it's going into the women's category? And I was like, yep, that's exactly what I'm telling you. So I don't know if I would consider it a mistake, but it was something that was meant for men's and I pulled it and I mm-hmm. was like, I want to use it for women's because it's like I'm being selfish and I want the fabric for myself.
Can we do it for both men and women?
Maybe. I'll think about it, Kaylin.
Everyone gets to enjoy it.
Yeah. We're pushing men's a little bit. It's just not there yet.
Yeah. Well, we got to get it in its right spot.
Yeah. What else we got?
Let's see. Abby Barrel is asking, what is your personal favorite Set Active product, one that you can't live without?
Honestly, I don't think I can choose one. Cannot live. I absolutely cannot live without Luxform leggings.
Yeah, you always say that.
Yeah. I mean, I think if that's what I always say, then that's got to be yeah. the number one thing.
Yes.
I really would go insane without them. So there you have it. Luxform leggings.
And then I do have someone asking, where do you want to be in 5 years, maybe 10?
You know, I hate answering that question, and okay. I don't have an answer because so much changes mm-hmm. in the course of even a week, especially in our world over at Set, that who am I to predict, you know, what's going to happen in 5-10 years? I like to manifest, like, I see myself, you know, with my family still in a really successful, happy marriage with Garrett and my kids. You know, my biggest fear is that I'm not going to raise them to be kind. Mm-hmm. And I really, you know, that's something that I'm focusing on is like how I'm going to be a parent to them and how I'm going to teach them, you know, to be kind to others and all the things you're scared that, you know, of not teaching your kid. So maybe that's what I'm focusing on for like where I see myself in the next 5 to 10 years is just being a kick-ass mom. But in business, I don't think it's fair to answer that kind mm-hmm. of question. So much changes.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
Going into my freshman year in college, you plan out like your entire 4 years. It didn't stay the same.
No.
And nothing does. Like, you could plan so far in advance for your own personal life. Like, when does it ever like stick?
Yeah. Yeah. It's so much changes. And even if I think I'm going to, you know, raise Ace, I almost said her name, and baby girl a certain way, like, mm-hmm. I'm sure I'm going to do it differently than what I thought. And things change.
Yeah.
I don't like answering that question.
Yeah. And things do happen for a reason.
Yeah. Things happen. Everything happens for a reason. I always say that. But yeah, I mean, what a fun solo episode. These always go really fast. And I don't think we even got to answer all the questions. If you guys enjoyed these solo episodes where there's absolutely zero structure to it, let me know. Leave a review, rate the podcast, obviously give it a 5. This was so much fun.
And we would always love to hear your feedback, whether you tag us on social media or, you know, just let us know how we're doing.
Yeah, I always pick someone on social if they tag me in the story or if they tag Ready, Set, Spill in their favorite part of the episode. I slide into their DMs and I send them something special from set. Not everyone, I wish I could, but I do pick at random. Mm-hmm. So if you do tag Ready, Set, Spill and myself so that I can see it, you might get some fun goodies from set. And
Thanks for tuning in, guys.
Thanks for tuning in to Ready, Set, Spill.
Should we get a theme song? Okay, next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to follow us on your podcast listening platform. Share your favorite moments with me on social media and tune in next week. Again, I'm your host, Lindsay Carter, and this is Ready, Set, Spill.